What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do I live? I say I'm gonna get it out.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HERE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's one in three Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send your job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now Bush says we're in recovery. And after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
War is not only hell, it's insane. We've seen the insanity in George W.'s war of lies in Iraq. WMDs that aren't there. Perverted PR stunts about mission accomplished. The White House effort to redefine torture as being okay. The transfer of democratic power to a handpicked Iraqi regime that is not democratic and won't really wield power, etc. But our own leaders are not the only ones acting insane. The tiny nation of Macedonia has now learned that its leaders also have been caught up in the hellish insanity and depravity of Bush's self-declared unlimited war on the world's evildoers. In an effort to curry favor with Bush, the top officials in the right-wing government of this Balkan country plotted in late 2001 to show their commitment to Georgia's war on terror. Macedonian police commanders were dispatched to lure 7 impoverished Muslim immigrants from Pakistan into their country. Believing they were on their way to jobs in Greece, the 7 immigrants were taken in a minivan to a farm outside Macedonia's capital city. The van parked, the driver opened his door and fled, and a special terrorist unit of the police command opened fire, slaughtering all 7 of the immigrants. Shortly after the ambush, Macedonia's top government officials announced that these 7 had been Al-Qaeda holy warriors and that the police authorities had heroically thwarted their plan to conduct a terrorist attack on the U.S. embassy. The Bushites and U.S. media loudly hailed Macedonia's government as heroes in Georgia's global terrorist war, totally ignoring the pleas of families of the 7 immigrants that their sons had 0 connections to terrorists. Unless you counted the insane cowards who had them murdered. This is Jim Hightower saying, Macedonia's cowardly leaders would have gotten away with their monstrous fabrication, except that they subsequently lost an election and the new government revealed the truth. There's been no comment from Bush.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR. But they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
You think I'd be behind some Bush's phases? Maybe, please. I'm a Carrier air conditioner. Isolation lets me focus and keeping you comfy.
For unmatched expertise, Carrier stands alone.
I'm an expert. You're on the job. Don't even think about it, Doc.
Our air conditioners with Puron refrigerant are energy efficient and environmentally sound with a 10-year limited warranty. See dealer for details.
Nothing can stop my dedication. Heat waves, rain, your kid's soccer ball. Ouch. I'm fine. Really.
No wonder Carrier's trusted in more homes than any other brand. Carrier, turn to the expert.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, friends. Happy Friday. Today, the 9th of July. Tom Hartman here with you, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, streaming around the planet. And who knows, we're on 2 different satellites. Maybe even they're hearing us on the planet Theta, the place where all the Scientologists will go when the Thetans come to claim all the clears. It's Friday. It's the first hour of our program. It's time for our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders in 1991 became the first independent congressman elected in 40 years to the United States House of Representatives. He has since been reelected 5 times. He is the longest serving independent in the history of the House of Representatives. Congressman Bernie Sanders, welcome. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
Good to be with you.
It's great to have you here. 23 minutes. What a difference 23 minutes makes, huh? I don't think I need to set this up for you. You want to tell our listeners what happened in Congress here?
Well, what happened yesterday was an outrage, which I think suggests that we cannot trust the Republicans with power because they are getting into the habit of abusing it. Many people don't know it, but what happens here is in the House of Representatives, when we have a vote, you get 15 plus 2, 17 minutes to cast your vote. Every member has a card, looks like a credit card. You put it into a machine, put it into the slot, you vote yes, no, or present. You get 17 minutes to do that.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday is I introduced an amendment which would repeal certain provisions in the USA Patriot Act. And we had put together a very strong bipartisan coalition with not only almost all of the Democrats, but a number of Republicans who were prepared to support that and did support it. The debate was an interesting debate. I think we won the debate. And then the vote took place.
Now,
at the end of the vote.
If I may pause you for just a second, the name of your amendment was fascinating, I thought. It wasn't like the Freedom to Read Act or something like that?
Yeah. It was based on legislation that I have introduced, which has 145 co-sponsors. We kind of narrowed it a little bit, made it into an amendment. We put it into the Commerce, Justice, State appropriation bill, which came up yesterday.
Okay.
Sometimes what happens is it's very, very difficult to get what we call a freestanding bill onto the floor. You can't just introduce a bill and go down, say, Mr. Speaker, I want to debate and vote on my bill. It doesn't happen that way. You have to look very hard to find a vehicle, and we found the vehicle. And we had that debate, and I think we won the debate, and then the vote took place. Well, at the end of the vote, at the end of the 17 minutes, we were ahead, I believe, 219 to 203. Not even a close vote.
Hmm.
Well, then a funny thing happened. The Speaker did not gavel down the meeting and did not move on. He kept the rolls open.
Now, at that point, he should have said, okay, the vote is done, and Bernie Sanders has won.
Quite say it like that, but what they say, anybody want to change their votes? If not, the vote is 219 to 203, and we move on to the next order of business. That's what happens. But what happens here is the Speaker, who's not really, he's a substitute for Speaker Hastert, is up there, and they look to the Republican leadership, Tom DeLay, for a clue as to what they should do.
Right.
And DeLay was very clear, and the leadership was very clear, do not gavel down this vote, because we're going to go around this body, and we're going to twist arms, and we're going to turn Republicans around. And they did that. So what ended up happening is, at the end of 38 minutes, rather than 17 minutes, by that point they had managed to twist enough arms to get Republicans to change their votes, and we ended up with a 210 tie, which meant that our amendment lost. And the point being made on the floor of the House this morning is this is exactly reminiscent of what they did on the Medicare vote, except that one they took 3 hours.
Yeah, I was just going to raise that, and that was in the middle of the night.
That vote ended at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was the longest vote in the history. Yeah. But what happened this time, as opposed to the Medicare, and I'm very proud of that, and I played a role in it, if I must say so, is Democrats said, hey, we're not going to take this lying down. And I got up, and other people got up, and they said, hey, how much time is this vote supposed to allow? And, you know, we asked for a point of personal privilege and so forth. A number of people went up there. Nancy Pelosi went up there to put pressure and to start demanding that the guy gavel down the vote.
Yeah.
End it, not let it go on indefinitely.
Wasn't there a group of congressmen who, or congresspeople or, you know, whatever, who were saying, shame, shame,
absolutely.
Shame?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure they were. There was a little bit of pandemonium on the floor of the House, and that is appropriate. In other words, what goes on, Tom? You know, honest people can disagree on an issue, right?
Yeah.
But what democracy is about in its deepest sense is you got to be prepared to lose. I have lost a lot. I've lost elections. I've lost votes. You got to be prepared to do that. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You lose, you come back the next day. The scary thing about some of these guys is they are not prepared to lose, which means in this case they lose the vote. Well, we're just going to keep that vote open, and we're going to twist arms, and we're going to force people to change their votes.
They're not playing by the rules.
They're not playing by the rules, and that's what democracy is about.
Yeah.
And the irony of all of this is, what was this vote about? This vote was about the USA Patriot Act and protecting our constitutional rights and democracy in America. And they used undemocratic means to defeat an amendment trying to protect democracy.
Yeah. It's outrageous. It's ironic. I mean,
it is ironic. And you know what? They're going to pay the price. I have talked to a number of Republicans today who are not happy about what happened.
Interesting.
If they understand that this is going to backfire. This exposes these guys. And I don't want to say all Republicans by any means. There are, you know, honest guys there with different points of view than I do. And they understand sometimes you win and sometimes you lose.
Yeah.
But there are some in that leadership, Tom DeLay and others, who just do not choose to lose. And they are dangerous people. They have strong anti-democratic instincts.
Yeah. It's like the Politburo, you know. This is incredible. 13 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman program. It's Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders on the air with us here for this hour. If you'd like to be on the air with us, our number is 1-866-889-8894. If you have questions or comments for Congressman Sanders. And Bernie, Bill in Santa Fe is on the line. Shall we bring him in here?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you, Congressman Sanders. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Nice to talk to you, Bill.
My question is about universal health care. And do you think it could be implemented on a state-by-state basis? And if so, how would that happen, and who could I contact?
Bill, that's a great question. And I am a strong proponent of universal health care. Bill, as I'm sure you know, we have a huge health care crisis in America today. We have 44 million Americans with no health insurance today. And over a period of year, a lot more people lose their health insurance. We are the only nation in the industrialized world not to have a national health care program guaranteeing all people, and yet we spend twice as much per person on health care as do the people of any other nation. So should we move to a national health care system? Yes. Will we get there with George Bush as president? Absolutely not, because the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies, they see health care not as a way to provide good care to people, but as a way to make a whole lot of money. Your question, though, is an interesting question. You say, well, if, in essence, what you're saying, if we can't do it at the federal level, how do we do it? And I think we do it state by state. And I think if Vermont or if California leads the effort, other states will learn and move forward and will end up having a national program. There are, in fact, there is legislation introduced by John Tierney of Massachusetts, which basically says that the federal government will work with states, allowing them to combine their various federal health programs, Medicare, Medicaid, other public health programs, if and give them additional money if they are prepared to provide health care to all people in their state. And he's not even mandating what I support, which would be a single-payer program. He's saying any way the state wants to do it, California wants to do it different than Vermont, that's fine. But all you have to do is say, we're going to guarantee health care to all people. So John Tierney of Massachusetts has a good piece of legislation in, which I think is would be an important step forward in allowing states the flexibility to move in a direction to make sure that every person in that state has health care.
Yeah, I know, you know, Vermont and Michigan, for example, have done this for their children in large
That's right.
part.
That's right. Maine Vermont has done it. It's called the Dr. Dinosaur Program in Vermont. It is a very popular program, and it works well.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of generalizing this stuff.
That's exactly right.
1-866-889-8894, our telephone number, if you'd like to be on with Congressman Bernie Sanders. And Christopher in Albuquerque is on the line. Hey, Christopher, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Hey, Congressman?
Yes, sir.
I was following that vote very closely, and I would like to thank you for demonstrating such moral courage. And even though you didn't win this time, I sincerely hope that you go back and fight these SOBs some more.
Yeah, we sure are, Christopher. And by the way, if anyone wants to learn more about what happened yesterday, they can get to our website, which is bernie.house.gov. That's the congressional website. And we have a lot of information on that vote. But I can tell you, Christopher, trust me, we are not giving up on that issue. I think we have the vast majority of the people behind us, the librarians, the booksellers, ordinary people, who want to know that when they go into a library, when they go into a bookstore, that the FBI and the government are not looking over their shoulders.
Well, you know,
we are certainly going to pursue that issue.
Yeah, Bernie, I think one of the scariest provisions of that Patriot Act legislation is that if the FBI comes and talks to a librarian and says, okay, has Tom Hartman checked out a book from here? The librarian now will commit a felony if they tell me that the FBI
right.
was asking about me. I mean,
no,
that
exactly
is
right
police
right.
state technique. I mean, it's just that is just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling.
During the course of the debate,
free
there
speech.
Were a lot of accusations leveled against me and others who were supporting the amendment, which just are not true. Everybody in Congress and everybody in America understands that terrorism is serious business. We all know that.
Yeah.
And nobody here is not going to do everything they can to protect the American people from terrorism. But the issue is, can we and should we fight terrorism in a way that does not undermine American constitutional values?
Yeah.
That's the answer. And we can do it.
Yeah.
There is nothing in the amendment that I offered, by the way, just to get the record straight on this, that would stop the FBI from going after terrorists in libraries, in bookstores, if they have evidence that those people are linked to terrorism.
Yeah.
The problem with the USA Patriot Act under 215 is they give the FBI a blank check. They do not have to have any probable cause. They don't have to specify that an individual is linked to terror. And then they can broaden their discovery once they're in a library, to go after other people as well.
Yeah,
and that is not what we wanted to do.
And if George Bush is right, and I challenge this, but you know, I think that what bin Laden was about was attacking us not because of our freedoms, but because of our foreign policy. But if Bush is right that they're going after us because of their freedoms and they want to deny us liberty, why should we be doing their job for them?
Yeah, that's right. And that's a point that a lot of folks have been making on the floor of the House.
Yeah.
You know, in politics, as you well know, Tom, freedom is a very easy word to bandy about, right? Everybody is for freedom. We're fighting for freedom. And yet it is a lot harder to defend freedom than people think it is. In other words, all that some politician has got to go up there and say, we have got to fight terrorism. Well, all of us want to fight terrorism. All of us want to protect the American people. But you want to do it in a way that makes sure that America remains a free country. You do not want government agents going into a library, forcing that library to give up records about somebody who may have absolutely nothing to do with terrorism.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes it's hard to make that point when you have somebody else talking about 9/11 was terrible, we got to fight terrorism. Sure, we got to fight terrorism. But at the same time, we have to protect the United States Constitution.
And the Bill of Rights specifically says,
and the Bill of Rights,
you've got to have probable cause. I mean, you've got to have a reasonable. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, what does this word make you think of? Tchaikovsky.
Isn't I? So what's the word?
No, that is the word.
You lost it.
All right, who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Maybe they're not getting enough art. Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music and Martha Graham's dance. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America.
Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the Project for the New American Century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman, available in bookstores everywhere.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Congressman Bernie Sanders on the air with us today, as he is every Friday in our first hour of our program with our Brunch with Bernie segment, America's independent congressman. Bernie, we got a couple callers here. Shall we just go to the lines?
Let's do it.
Okay, Frank in Fairfield, Maine, a listener on Sirius Satellite, has been patiently waiting. Hey, Frank, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. First of all, Congressman Sanders, I want to... just tell you how much I've admired you over the years for your just uncompromising stand for America, basically.
Thank you very much, Frank.
Put it. The values that you represent are the values I hold, and I was essentially brought up to respect. Secondly, I remember a while back I was watching C-SPAN, and you were testifying about the possibility of importing Canadian drugs.
Yes.
And on the same panel was that character Santorum.
Yeah, Rick Santorum.
And the way that you cut him down to size was textbook. He couldn't have gotten any smaller after you got through with him. It was just, you essentially articulated the fact that he was stating the case for the drug companies, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just so beautifully done, and I really appreciate the fact that you're willing to go and state the facts without being abusive, and it was just really admirable.
Thanks,
I really like that. And by the way, about this... this business going on with the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
These people, I don't know. It just seems like they keep talking about freedom in the most pious way, but it's the freedom to think the way they do. You can think anything you want as long as you draw the same conclusion.
Yeah, Frank, I think you're right, Frank. Is there a question?
Let me give you. I think you're absolutely right, and I will tell you on the two issues that you've raised. On this reimportation issue, there's no question that people like Santorum and many others, certainly the Republican leadership, of which Santorum is in the Senate, are tied in very closely with an industry that has spent hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that we as Americans are paying by far the highest prices in the world for the medicine that we need.
Yeah.
We are making some progress. In fact, that particular hearing that you mentioned was chaired by John McCain, Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He came over to our side on this issue, as did Trent Lott, conservative Republican. So we have momentum. Where we are on that issue right now is whether or not the Republican leadership, i.e. Santorum and the others in the Senate, will give the Senate a vote on the issue. If they do, Byron Dorgan has legislation in which, in fact, will win. And if we pass that legislation combined with what we did in the House, we could lower prescription drug costs in America by 25 to 50%. And pay what the rest of the world is paying, which is what we've got to do.
This would require Bill Frist going along with it, though, wouldn't it?
He made
his fortune in the medical industry.
That's right. Frist is very closely tied into moneyed interest in the medical industry. But we now have the votes in the Senate. It took us a long time. We got it. And they are looking day by day right now to find a vehicle to get that bill to move. In terms of the Patriot Act, what I want to say is an interesting point here. Is that while the vote yesterday showed that almost every Democrat, and I'm an independent, but every Democrat was for it, we had, before the Republicans extended the vote and twisted arms, 28 Republicans who were prepared to vote with us, and they did that defying the president, who said he was going to veto the bill. So what you're seeing here, Tom, is a very interesting development, is honest conservatives. What is the essence of conservatism? Is they believe in limited government, right?
Yeah.
Well, If you believe in limited government, you don't believe the FBI should be monitoring your reading habits. So we put together a good coalition around the country on that issue, and we're going to prevail on it.
Great. Thanks for the call, Frank. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894. Tony in Maryland. Tony, I think we've only got about 30 seconds here. If it's a quickie, or I can hold you over the break.
Can you hold me over the break?
Sure. And on that, in fact, I'll put you on hold right now, and just as we wrap up here, is Bill Frist really going to be, I mean, is he going to be a significant impediment, do you think, to any kind of health care reform, Bernie?
Of course he will. I mean, absolutely. But sometimes they have to work out deals if they want the process to move in the Senate.
Yeah, they've got, they're going to have
Democrats
to cooperate.
Democrats hold up things indefinitely, so sometimes they work out deals where he has to do what he doesn't want to do.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not going to happen before this election.
Well, we'll see. There's a hope that it will.
Yeah, okay. All righty, it's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders with us. If you'd like to be on the air with us, the number is 1-866-889-8894. It's 29 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. For more than 27 years, the progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HRE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's one in three Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
I've been meek and hard like an oak. I've seen pretty people disappear like smoke. Friends will arrive, friends will disappear. If you want me, honey, baby, I'll be here.
And welcome back. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you with Congressman Bernie Sanders, our Brunch with Bernie segment every Friday, the first hour of our program. Our number 1-866-889-8894 if you'd like to call in. And Tony in Maryland, listening on radiopower.org on the internet, is on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Bernie, as Tom knows, I'm a Republican, and I'm a moderate Republican. And these people don't stand for these right-wing and the neocons and everything, don't stand for anything that a lot of Republicans stand for. I know a lot of Republicans that are doing everything they can to get Republicans out of office and vote Democratic this year. What I don't understand, though, like I'm familiar with Nick Smith, I'm familiar with a lot of different things that the Republicans have been doing, and I watch him on TV, and I just have to turn it off. I'm so disgusted with, you know, the words and the bullying. And but is it possible at all when they're doing a vote, and obviously there's some honest Republicans that are in office and so forth, but as far as this bullying, can't they make a vote, including the Democrats? Can't you make a vote and then leave?
Well, Tony,
I know that's what happened.
You raise a couple
the,
of very good issues, and let me respond. In my state of Vermont, many people know that one of our senators is Jim Jeffords. And Jeffords is a moderate, and that's what he has always been, and I've known him for 30 years. His father was on the Supreme Court in the state of Vermont, a long Republican tradition. And essentially what happened to Jeffords is his views didn't change. But he said, hey, I am a moderate, and this party, the Republican Party, has moved so far to the right, has become so intolerant, is using wedge issues, and so forth and so on, that I could no longer be a member of that party. And he became an independent. And many people
right.
in Vermont are very proud of what he did. And, Tony, I think all over the country there are a lot of decent Republicans who are saying we're losing control of our party. We are not right-wing extremists.
Right.
We are moderates. We are conservatives. But we are not right-wing extremists. And, in fact, that is what has happened to the Republican Party. It's been hijacked by people like Tom DeLay, people way, way, way far to the right. And I think it is extraordinarily important. And I think this election can depend upon people like you, Tony, standing up and saying, hey, I'm a Republican, but I'm not voting for Bush. I'm not supporting DeLay. And we need to hear those voices.
Oh, there's a lot
of
them out here. I mean, I was talking to my next-door neighbor. He said he'd vote for his dog before he'd vote for Bush, and he's a Republican too. But
Tony, this is happening all over the country. All over the country. A friend of mine is from California in the Congress, and she was showing me an article today. Lifelong Republican says, this is the article, lifelong Republican says, I'm not voting for Bush, just for the reasons that you have articulated.
Yeah.
In terms of what happens on the floor of the House, in fact, that was actually discussed, interestingly, that you mentioned it, about just a massive walkout in protest. So that is an option which, you know, people can do.
But you lose the vote then, don't you?
I mean, by not voting.
Right.
No, yeah. I mean,
well,
if
you vote,
you vote
and then walk out.
Once you vote, because I know that happened with the Medicare bill, a lot of people voted and then they left, and then the ones that were still left, like Nick Smith, they started threatening him and threatening him with, you know, first of all, bribing him and then threatening him with his son's election.
That's
but
exactly
can't you
right.
vote and then leave?
Sure you can, absolutely. Well, interestingly enough, on that particular vote, Tony, you want to hear something funny? The answer is yes, you can. On that vote, for some strange reason, which took place at 5 o'clock in the morning, if my memory is correct, and I'm almost sure it is, there was another vote that followed. Some silly vote, not an important vote. And you know why they kept that vote there?
So you wouldn't leave.
Precisely to make sure that members had to hang around.
Amazing.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did that happen on this one?
On the other hand, sure, yesterday's vote, other votes were following that vote. But people could certainly take a walk. They can leave the premises and come back. They have their beepers on, and they'll know when the next vote is, and they'll have time to get back.
Tony, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Jack in Seattle is on the line. Hey, Jack, what's up?
Oh, hi. I'm looking at a picture that's kind of disturbing, and I'm praying that it's kind of phony or fake or something. But it's a picture of what supposedly the Congress or some congressmen sitting in their congressional desks, and on the front of each one is a little Star of David. I'm hoping that that's phony.
Bernie?
Star of David on the front of a congressional desk?
On front of, well, it's all the congressmen supposedly sitting, you know, in their seats in Congress.
I've never heard of anything.
Yeah, this sounds like some anti-Semitic, somebody's been messing with a photo. Jack, thanks for the call. 1-866-889-8894. Jared in Grand Rapids, Michigan is on the line. Hey, Jared, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure.
I'm calling as a blue-collar utility worker of America, union brother, and one thing I just want to state that I don't know if you are telling people, if we were to go to a nationwide insurance, wouldn't that just really just dampen our incomes? For the fact, I have friends in in Canada that their government somewhere we're going to pay for this.
Yes.
This Medicare or whatever they're going to call it, if it was to come, they take like 50% of their wage in Canada.
Whoa,
make squat in Canada.
Okay, Jared, stay on the phone, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the point. What's going on now with many union workers, and as you know, I am 100% lifetime pro-union voter and strongest supporter of unions. Unless I'm mistaken, you and most of your brothers and sisters are fighting hard to keep your health care benefits. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the reason for that is health care costs are soaring in this country, and we're seeing more and more people without any health insurance. Now, what goes on in Canada and every other country on earth is that health insurance is not simply employer-based. God didn't create a situation that employers have got to provide health care. What every other government in an industrialized world has said is, you are a citizen of Canada, you're a citizen of Great Britain, a citizen of France, you are entitled to health care because you're a citizen, just in the same way, Jared, that your kids go to school because they're citizens of this country. Then the debate has got to begin, how do we pay for that health care? And the answer is, we should do it through progressive taxation, and we should pay for it that way. It does not have to be based on the backs of employers. What ends up happening is that many employers in the United States are competitively disadvantaged because they are paying a fortune for health care that their competition around the world is not paying. So to answer your question, yes, we will have to pay more in taxes. But on the other hand, you and your employer will not be paying Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or private insurance. And everything being equal, the total should be significantly less per person, because the current system is an extremely wasteful and bureaucratic system.
Right. We're paying right now, Jared, we're paying twice as much for health care on a per-person basis in the United States as in any other country in the world. If we got all the for-profit corporations that are acting as middlemen, particularly the insurance industry, which takes anywhere from 15 to 30 cents on every dollar of health care money that passes through its hands, get them completely out of the business and have a government administer. You've got Medicare, Medicaid, which have an overhead of 1 or 2%, and you know, just get them out of the business and then give the government the ability to negotiate with drug companies for pharmaceuticals and things. The cost would drop so much that, you know, yes, you're going to pay for it with your tax dollars, but you're paying for it right now anyway. You're paying for it with lower wages than you would have had otherwise.
That's right.
So, well, realistically, on the flip side, let's be realistic and think about this. If everybody has insurance, okay, say, Tom, I listen to every day. I think you have a wonderful show. Say you come down with an illness and you need to seek help, emergency help, and somebody comes in for a common cold. Don't you think that our emergency rooms are going to be overwhelmed with people because they have it? Because they have this insurance, of course they're going to use it because they've never had that privilege before. Don't you think our hospitals and all of our facilities are going to be overwhelmed with things that
Jared,
can be taken care of with a heating pad?
Okay, Jared is asking a good question. The question that a lot of people are asking, and Tom, you know what we should probably do at one point? Do a whole program on health care.
Yeah, we should.
I think it's worth it. Because Jared is asking a reasonable question. But the answer I could give you, Jared, is we can look at other countries to find out what's going on. The answer is, of course, that when people have a common cold, they should not be going into an emergency room. And you know, Jared, that's what's happening all over America today, because people don't have their own physicians. They don't have clinics that they should be going to. What I could simply tell you at this point, Jared, is that the experience of other countries is that you can create situations. You're worried that people are going to overuse the system. Somebody's going to get bored on a Thursday afternoon. They're going to say, hey, I'm going to go to the doctor, waste some time. There are ways to deal with it. It's an issue, but there are ways to deal with it.
Like,
but Jared,
let me
give you the converse of that. Right now, study after study shows that there are many people in this country who are sick. And you know what? They can't afford the deductible and they can't afford the copayment. They hesitate going to the doctor. And by the time they walk into the doctor's office, you know what? They've got an incurable illness, or they end up in the hospital when they shouldn't have. So that's the other side of that coin. But what I can tell you, Jared, to make a long discussion short, in America today, we spend twice as much money per person on health care as any other country, and yet we have 44 million Americans with no health insurance, and even more than that, underinsured. What I have seen, many studies show, that if we move toward a national health care system, we can provide comprehensive health care to every American, not spending any more than we are spending now. Your point, though, is right in the sense that people are going to have to pay more in taxes. On the other hand, you're not going to be paying any private insurance. You're not going to be paying deductibles or copayments. Your employer is not going to be having to pay a fortune.
Right, so your salary can go up.
National health care is much more rational.
Yes, yeah, so your income can go up. Jared, thanks for the call. Good to hear from
you. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, you too. 1-866-889.
Jared raises a good question, and a lot of people have that, and we need to debate that issue.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I think we can make the case that national health care is the way to go, but a lot of questions that people have that we should answer. So maybe we could do a whole program on that.
Yeah, well, let's plan on it. Wendy in St. Louis is on the line. Hey, Wendy, welcome to the program.
Hello. It's an incredible pleasure to speak with both of you.
Thank you.
I'm in St. Louis. I have to say that my internet blog name is Common Sense Mom. I wanted to discuss another subject. There seems to be a lot of news stories that we see occasionally, and then they just disappear and are not talked about again. And one that caught my eye last week that I was wondering if you could comment on had the headline of Anti-Missile Program Bypasses Law That Requires Testing. It was in the Chicago Tribune. I saw it in the Post-Dispatch in St. Louis, but it was written by a reporter from the Chicago Tribune, and it's basically talking about missile defense and how $50 billion are going to be at least spent on implementing missile defense without even testing it.
Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing that is mind-boggling to me is that we're supposedly in a war against terror right now, where terrorists prefer bombs, either car bombs, body bombs, you know, backpack bombs, you know, basically low-tech bombing equipment or this sort of thing. And, you know, on 9/11, we were attacked by guys with box cutters who took over airplanes, all of which would be, you know, a missile defense system would be useless against.
Right. Why not use that money? Why not use that money to reinforce our hospitals and our ports and
our yeah. borders,
our fire departments,
Homeland Security everywhere? $50 billion sounds to me like a big handout to defense contractors who are lining politicians' pockets.
Yeah.
And this, to me, is an outrage that I think people probably want to know more about and need to talk more about.
Okay.
If we're really in a war against terror, we should
think
be
Your title
that are
on the internet of Common Sense Mom is very appropriate. So I think you are a Common Sense Mom.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I think you touched on a very important issue, and that is we are spending a lot of money on the military where we should not be spending it, and I think missile defense and Star Wars is one of those areas, and we're not spending it where we should be spending it. We're not going to be attacked by Osama bin Laden through a missile. If we are attacked, it will be low-tech, and it will be to defend ourselves. We need to do it just as you and Tom have indicated. We need kind of common-sense defense through our police departments, through our ports, and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And you're also correct in saying that there's huge amounts of money to be made through convincing members of Congress, members who often have manufacturing facilities or ports in their own communities, where people make a whole lot of money, and we've got to take a very hard look at that. And I think you're exactly right.
Yeah, she makes a great point. Thanks for the call, Wendy. 1-866-889-8894. Our telephone number. Todd in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, is on the line. Hey, Todd, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. See, I enjoy your program. I just turned on the Sirius Radio and caught your program, and I didn't get your guest name.
Oh, this is Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Okay. Congressman, say there was a caller in that was a union member that talking about health insurance. I also am a union member, and you know, I don't know what a dollar amount per person would be for health insurance, but I know through my local, with my contractor's contributions per hour and mine, comes to $3 and something an hour. So when I sat down and figured it out, if you figure in my copay and my deductible, I myself, just for me, it's $7,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if I don't take time off to go to the doctor during working hours. You know, if I wait until after work and go to acute care, which is here in Sioux Falls, it doesn't cost any more for that. But if I don't take, if I have to take an hour off or 2 hours of work, that just adds on to that $7,000. What would be a dollar amount? I mean, if I had to pay extra taxes, that's fine. As long as I didn't have a copay and I didn't have
That's the point. That's the point, Todd, that I was trying to make to Jared. We are now spending a fortune on health care. You're in the $7,000 for one person.
For one
person.
That's
a huge sum of money. $11,000, $12,000 for a family. An extraordinary sum of money. What we have to do is move to two qualities. A simple system where everybody is in it, and a comprehensive system that covers all of our needs. And if we do that, and we do away with the advertising and the profit-taking and the huge amount of administrative waste in terms of billing and so forth and so on, we can have that kind of system for all Americans, and in total we'll be spending less money than we currently spend.
Yeah. Well said, Bernie. It's our Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders on the line with us. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be right back.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman. Join me this October as we explore Greece, the ancient birthplace of democracy. When the Founding Fathers were searching for the best and fairest form of government, they studied the models of Athenian democracy. We'll explore together this part of the ancient world where the ideas that today animate modern democracy were first worked out. This journey is set on the shore of the sparkling Mediterranean Sea with the sacred mountains of Crete behind us. We'll visit the ancient site of Gortian, famous for the Law Code of Gortian, large 6th century BC tablets of stone built into a wall and one of the first examples of laws ever written down, and now the oldest still in existence. I'll teach workshops at the two most important sites in all of Crete, Knossos and Phaistos, plus more. At Knossos, we'll experience the main ceremonial center and the palace of King Minos. For information on how you can join us on this trip of a lifetime, visit www.tomhartman.com or call 1-800-234-TOUR. That's 1-800-234-TOUR, T-O-U-R.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner bringing you today's feature story. Union organizing could become a lot harder in the near future. The National Labor Relations Board moved to review the legality of card check agreements, threatening the ability of unions to avoid the lengthy election certification process.
Card check is a way of getting around what has become a dysfunctional system that focuses on the NLRB election.
Nelson Lichtenstein is a professor of history at UC Santa Barbara and author of State of the Union, A Century of American Labor. Under a card check agreement, an employer automatically accepts a union if a majority of workers indicate their intent to form one. Under current U.S. labor law, when a union files for an election, the company has the right to hold captive audience meetings.
They demand that all employees must show up for a meeting in which union representatives are excluded, but in which management has the right to really badger the workers, show horrifying films, and really threaten to shut down the plant.
Even if the union wins an election, the company often fires union activists, hires anti-union consultants, and delays the results of the election for years.
At Columbia University, for example, where the teaching assistants have just finished a strike, the election was held 2 years ago. And so what that means in many workplaces is that the workforce has turned over and you really have to begin all over again.
It's a popular form of organizing. Of the 500,000 people who have joined unions in the last few years, the majority joined as part of card check agreements. The NLRB is also reviewing whether or not to allow workers to push for a union decertification vote immediately rather than after the current one-year waiting period. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's a beautiful day.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. It's the Brunch with Bernie segment. Congressman Bernie Sanders on the line with us. Bernie, we've got two calls here that are still waiting to speak with you, and we've only got about 3 minutes.
So.
Yep, let's move right through here. First, we've got Charles in Frederick, Ohio. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Charles, if you're there, you're live. Charles. Charles appears to have gone. Let's move on to Kevin in Tampa, Florida.
Okay. Hey, Tom.
Is that Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Bernie.
Hi.
I wanted to go back real fast, just take a couple seconds, about your situation that happened in the House yesterday.
Yep.
I've got a problem, and I understand what you're saying, and I understand that woman caller, I think she was from Maine, wherever, said she was a Republican that called earlier.
From Maryland.
And I understand them, but I'm also upset at them. I'm upset at women like that. Not women, people like that, Republicans. If they're putting their party over our country, and any Republican who feels that way...
Well, actually, I think Tony, who called, said that she's going to do it the other way around. I mean, she's going to vote Democratic.
They got to do what Jim Jeffords did, Tom. They got to leave the party. That's their problem. If somebody in the Democratic Party was trying to make this a communist country, you know, and dictatorship and so forth, I wouldn't stay a Democrat. I'd leave it. These people are putting the Republican Party over the country. To me right now, I don't think there is a decent Republican existing in this country. I see what John McCain's doing. If anybody said about my wife or my adopted child what the Bush campaign did about his kid, I would have told him in public where to get off, and I'd leave the party. I'd say, if a party nominates somebody like that, I'm out.
Yeah. Okay. So your thoughts on this, Bernie? I mean, you know, thanks, Kevin, for the comment. I mean, my thought is that Tony is well-intentioned, you know.
Kevin makes the point, I think, that the Republican Party has, to a significant degree, become an extreme right-wing party. And he urges Republicans to leave, and that's reasonable. On the other hand, I think people like our caller, Wendy, Tony.
Okay.
Who said that she, as a Republican, is announcing that she is not going to be voting for Bush and urging her friends to do the same. That's also important.
Yeah, I think there are some people who, you know, hope springs eternal. They remember the days of Eisenhower or, you know, whatever, the Rockefeller Republicans, and they think that they can, and maybe they can take back their party.
But, you know, it's an interesting thing. One of the, where Kevin makes a good point, is that certainly one of the failures of our time is the fact that moderate Republicans have allowed extremists like Tom DeLay to take over the party without a whimper of protest.
Yeah, and that has
that
to be turned back.
Concern.
Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you very much for being with us today, Bernie. The hour has gone so quickly.
Thank
you. Bye now. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Your light at the end of the tunnel of talk radio.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HRE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's 1 in 3 Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send you a job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now, Bush says we're in recovery. Then after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
What's wrong with you people? Don't you know that the economy is humming? That our very own president has declared mission accomplished on his promise of prosperity? That the stock market is up by 40% over last year? That jobs are cropping up like crabgrass? That the bluebird of happiness is officially singing everywhere across our land? And that you should be grateful, for God's sake? Republican politicians, corporate economists, and the media barons are totally befuddled these days because their economic statistics tell them that the economy is in great shape. Yet you wretches, are still grumpy, even giving Bush the lowest marks of his presidency for his economic stewardship. George himself has gone into one of his high-pitched whines, chastising those who can't see the sunshine. He's sounding a whole lot like his daddy did back in 92. Like he's just another rich son of a Bush who is totally oblivious to the realities of America's workaday majority. He's looking at rosy economic indicators handed to him by his political operatives, rather than looking at such real-life pocketbook indicators as jobs that only pay poverty wages, gasoline topping $2 a gallon, milk at $4.43 a gallon, health care costs rising 3 times faster than wages, and 401ks being shrunk to 1ks. Also with their heads in the clouds are such media powers as the New York Times, which recently bemoaned the public's economic gloom, referring to it as a mood. A mood? Your job's being downsized or offshored? Your kids can't afford to go to college? Bush is trying to cut your Social Security benefits and raise your retirement age to 70? And they think you're moody? Meanwhile, a clueless Republican Senator, Jim Talent of Missouri, blithely says that prosperity is everywhere, but, quote, it just takes a while longer for that to filter through to folks. This is Jim Hightower saying, filter this, Senator. We'll believe the economy is humming when we are.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
You know, out here in West Texas, it gets really hot, and it's a tough, dry heat.
Glenn Austell of Lubbock, Texas, talks about Gold Bond medicated powder.
When I'm working outside, my skin gets itchy and irritated. I guess you call it a heat rash or something like that. But Gold Bond relieves the itch and irritation. It gives me a cool, refreshing sensation. I'm telling you, once you've tried Gold Bond, you can't live without it.
Gold Bond medicated powder cools and soothes heat rash and irritated skin. Use it directed.
I mean, who wouldn't want to feel cool and refreshed?
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. 7 minutes past the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. Broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border today, Friday, the 9th of July. TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, happy weekend. I was going to say, go see Fahrenheit 9/11. It's the second week or the third week now, but yesterday here in this in central Vermont, Thursday, We drove by the theater, and there was a line going down the block to get in. Amazing. This news flash here, Edwards asked Kerry to stop grabbing his butt. Public displays of affection distracting, says Kerry's number two. After a mere 2 days on the campaign trail, the first signs of tension between John Kerry and running mate John Edwards emerged today as Senator Edwards requested firmly and unequivocally that Mr. Kerry stop grabbing his butt. I think Senator Kerry has made it very clear in our joint appearances, Mr. Edwards told reporters, that he is happy to have me on the ticket. He really doesn't have to prove it by repeatedly grabbing my butt. At a campaign stop in Pennsylvania today, Mr. Edwards was in the middle of a speech when he a high-pitched yelp, apparently in response to yet another unexpected display of affection from Senator Kerry. Good grief, John, a visibly annoyed Mr. Edwards said to Mr. Kerry, who merely stood behind him smiling mischievously. In a sign that Mr. Kerry's unwanted embraces may be taking their toll on the newly minted vice presidential candidate, Mr. Edwards departed from his prepared remarks, telling the audience, "There are two Americas, one that gets to grab people's butts and the other that gets its butt grabbed." Intriguingly, a source confirmed that Mr. Kerry's penchant for butt-grabbing was the principal reason that Representative Dick Gephardt did not make the Democratic ticket. The whole idea of it grossed Dick out. Elsewhere, reports Andy Borowitz, BorowitzReport.com, indicted former CEO Ken Lay, Enron CEO Ken Lay, today announced that he would seek amnesty by applying for a position as an Iraqi insurgent. And in Washington, D.C., Attorney General John Ashcroft told all Americans to be on the lookout for a terror suspect disguised as an obese man wearing glasses and a baseball cap, accompanied by a documentary film crew. Thanks to BorowitzReport.com for that news flash. Now, you know, of course, that these public displays of affection, shall we say, between Kerry and Edwards seem to be getting a lot of press. Largely, I think, because, you know, Matt Drudge put this montage of pictures on his website yesterday, and of course all the right wing radio folks and TV and they all picked it up, and then it, you know, it's filtered into the mainstream media. But you know, frankly, I guess we get to choose. You know, would you rather have people who are openly affectionate, friendly, I mean, happy with each other, or would you rather have Bush and
you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
And Cheney.
You really are a heel.
Uh-oh.
You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
I guess we know now why George W. hasn't grabbed Cheney's butt.
With a greasy black heel.
In fact, as Capitol Hill Blue reports today, Vice President Dick Cheney faces criminal indictments for illegal activities while CEO of energy giant Halliburton, and also illegally intervened to secure a $7 billion no-bid contract for his former employer after his election to office, an analysis by the White House Counsel's Office.
Uh-oh.
It's a rough one.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole.
Yeah, so, what, you know, do you want affection or do you want Cheney? It's pretty straightforward, I guess. The vice president, to continue this story, this an article by Teresa Hampton, Capitol Hill Blue. Cheney faces criminal indictments, other illegal actions, raise warning flags at the White House. This is basically about an analysis that was done by the lawyers at the White House of the challenges, shall we say, that Vice President Cheney is facing. The vice president is currently under investigation by French authorities for bribery, money laundering, and misuse of corporate assets while at Halliburton, and also faces a U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission probe of a $180 million slush fund that may have been used to pay bribes, writes Teresa Hampton. Although the White House counsel analysis is not available to the public because of the secrecy of attorney-client privilege, it has generated speculation among senior White House aides who suggest the vice president should step down as President George W. Bush's running mate for the November presidential elections. This is why Al D'Amato, you know, floated this trial balloon day before yesterday. I mean, Al D'Amato is, you know, an old-time hitman for the Republican Party, and you know, you need some dirty work done, you call Al, right? It's just, you know, very, very, very simple. And so, you know, let's toss this thing out and see what happens. You know, I think we should get rid of Cheney and see what the public response is. You can bet they are polling on this thing. They had John McCain in their ads yesterday, the day before. I mean, you know, right after the announcement on Tuesday of Edwards as the vice presidential candidate, on Wednesday, boom, the Bush campaign hits the ground with John McCain ads. Another John. Oh, boy. John McCain ads talking about George Bush fondly. And you can bet that they are polling this. Should we get rid of Cheney and replace him with McCain? Should we get rid of Cheney and replace him with Giuliani? What should it be? Even worse, says this article by Teresa Hampton in Capitol Hill Blue, even worse, Cheney faces indictment by a French court on charges of bribery, money laundering, and misuse of corporate assets because of fraud associated with the construction of a $6 billion petrochemical plant built by Halliburton in Nigeria in partnership with Technip, one of France's largest petrochemical engineering companies. Well, that, you know, that Cheney was doing business as president of Halliburton with Saddam Hussein, with Iran, with Libya. But it's ironic, isn't it? I mean, you know, here he was. They did it through their offshore subsidiaries. It's illegal. It's technically illegal for Halliburton, which is a U.S.-based corporation, to do business with these countries. And so what Cheney did as CEO of Halliburton during the Clinton administration was Cheney let that work be done by corporations that Halliburton had set up in the Caymans or other offshore places so they could say, well, it's not, you know, this isn't really Halliburton doing it. It's not an American corporation. And so, you know, and they did $87 million in business with Saddam Hussein, not to mention Iran and Libya and all. So, but it, ironically, it looks like what's going to come back and bite him is that he did business with a French company in the midst of it, and that the French company got in on the deal in Nigeria and, you know, was co-participating with Cheney and bribing the Nigerian officials. To go back to this article, Cheney is under investigation by Judge Renaud Van Rembeke, one of France's famous investigating magistrates. Rembeke is a legend. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. I don't speak French. Is a legend in legal circles because of his investigation into French campaign scandals in the 1990s, resulting in multiple indictments and convictions of top government officials. Because of Rembeke's work on the case, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has opened an investigation into a $180 million slush fund that the French judge says was used to pay bribes. London lawyer Jeffrey Tesler, a consultant to Halliburton, admitted under oath in May that he made payments from the fund to Albert Jack Stanley, president of Halliburton's subsidiary Kellogg Brown & Root, and a longtime friend and associate of Cheney. The payments, Tesler said, were personally approved by Cheney, who headed Halliburton at the time. Although Cheney left his position at Halliburton after becoming vice president, his financial disclosure statements show he continues to receive dividends from stock as well as deferred compensation from the company. French Judge Rembeke, however, is said to be offering Stanley a deal if he implicates Cheney, and sources within the French legal system say the judge has more than enough to indict the vice president on charges of bribery, money laundering, and misuse of corporate assets. Cheney, however, is standing firm and recently told Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont to F off when the senator questioned him on the Halliburton matters. According to White House sources, President George W. Bush laughed the matter off at a recent cabinet meeting. F them all, Bush said. The president's bravado, however, is not shared by worried White House aides. Some point to the last vice president to step down because of fraud and corruption, Spiro T. Agnew, who served under President Richard M. Nixon, another Republican forced to leave office because of scandal. So, you know, it's what do you want? Do you want two guys who just, you know, hug a little too much, or do you want to have?
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Do you want to have Dick Cheney? Yeah. So, and it goes on. It goes on. In fact, I a few other details here I want to share with you about this. I think it's just absolutely remarkable what is happening in our government with the watchdogs, the people who are supposed to be overseeing how our money is spent. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number if you would like to weigh in. And this goes beyond just Halliburton, you know, overcharging us taxpayers for food that they're giving to our troops, or accepting kickbacks for oil contracts, or using taxpayer money for you know, presidential suites and five-star resorts in Kuwait, things like that. It goes way beyond that, and I'll share that with you in a minute. First, let's take a couple calls here. Chris in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chris, what's up?
No, not a lot. I'm really hoping that soon we can have Mr. Cheney exiled to Elba Island.
Yeah.
Perhaps for the duration.
Let's hope, if nothing else, that on November 2nd, Mr. Cheney gets exiled to wherever he chooses to exile himself.
Yeah, good point. Just viewing the porn on the Drudge Report. Can you spell desperation?
Yeah.
This is just remarkable.
I know. It's why I'm perfectly willing to make jokes about it. I think because. What the heck? I mean, I think these guys are great, and if they want to hug each other, I think that's marvelous. And it's what's strange to me is how the conservative talk show hosts are just like all hysterical about it. I maybe it's their latent homophobia.
Well, it's not latent, actually.
It's overt.
Certainly they must have something better than that. I don't understand the path that they're running on, or if it's just sheer desperation.
Yeah, latent homosexuality should have been what I say. I don't think it's that. I think you're right. It's anything to change the subject. We don't want, they don't want to talk about the fact that the environment's being ripped apart, that our air is being pumped full of mercury, not to mention other toxins, that global warming is a crisis, that Iraq is going down in flames, that the people, the jobs that are being created pay 25% less than the jobs that we lost just 3 years ago, that you have more people unemployed now than you had, 3 years ago. The list is just absolutely endless. They don't want to talk about, the war, the profiteering, the fear mongering, the secretiveness, the deficit spending, the national debt, the war crimes and prisoner abuse. They don't want to go there. So what do?
I think the good news is things are going to change. The bad news is what a damn tragedy for this country.
Yeah. Well, it's been a tragic 3 years, no matter how you look at it. We had the entire world on our side. We had the entire world. Le Monde, the headline, we are all Americans now. The French newspaper, we had the entire world on our side. And George Bush has managed to turn them all against us. It's amazing. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do you want to own a computer? Is your credit less than perfect? If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, then you are already approved for a brand new IBM, Dell, eMachine, or other name brand computer guaranteed. You heard right. Bad credit? No problem. There is no credit check, so you will not be turned down. If you have a checking account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.95 for just 12 months, you are approved for your brand new name brand computer. Just call 800-588-0596. Freedom Frog Funding says you are approved. So give us a call today at 800-588-0596 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. And if you act now, we'll add a $200 upgrade and a one-year warranty for free. You heard right. We will upgrade your computer and throw in a warranty absolutely free. So don't wait. Let Freedom Frog Funding send you the computer of your dreams today. Call
call 800-588-0596. That number is 800-588-0596.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about The Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find this sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 24 minutes past the hour. It's really quite remarkable. I got to tell you about Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz. You say, well, who's this guy? I never heard of him. He's the guy who's supposed to be overseeing how the Pentagon spends money. And it's going to curl your toes to hear about this. First, let's take a couple calls here. Dave in Eureka, California, 1-866-889-8894 is our number, by the way. Dave in Eureka, California is on the line. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Good morning, Tom. I'm looking forward to that next point that you want to make there. But as strange as it sounds, I have indicated to you in the past, I am one who has been exposed very directly and firsthand to some of the worst abuses of Patriot powers by some federal agents. And I'm also aware that those who have invested a great deal of money in owning our White House, they don't intend to give it up easily. Listening to Bernie, and it inspired me to want to call, but too late, that he feels there are a number of Republicans who are of good conscience and well-motivated and reasonable. But if they are all collectively blocking Russ Holt's measure to...
They're not. It's Tom DeLay that's blocking it. There are actually a bunch of Republicans who co-signed Rush Holt's bill. It's Tom DeLay. It boils down to, in the House of Representatives, it's Tom DeLay. In the Senate, it's Bill Frist. Because those congressional leaders, them and the committee chairman, have the power to prevent a bill from coming to the floor for a vote.
Wow. There's no way they can get around that.
There's no way. The only way around that is to have a two-party system that functions. You know, is to have either the House or the Senate controlled by the opposition party, and you know that's not happening right now.
You know,
or the presidency.
What I'm hearing, as frightening as it may sound, is that if a number of Republicans switch now and see their party as an outrage, if it comes down to where 15% of the vote goes Republican and 85% goes to Kerry, and they could still rig the election to go to Bush. That's what I'm hearing. Now, I, I hope it's not that bad.
We'll see. I hope it's not that bad, too. As you know, I wrote one of the original articles exposing this stuff, you know, almost 2 years ago on commondreams.org, talking about what Bev Harris was doing and what, you know, Chuck Hagel's sordid past and whatnot. And raised the issue. In fact, I wrote the piece that MoveOn.org mailed out to 1.6 million readers. I'm absolutely there with you, Dave. And I know that this is a problem in it, and it may be a real significant problem.
Somebody needs to be watching Ashcroft and his FBI on Election Day.
But that's the bad news. The good news is that the Secretary of State of the state of California has already said no, we're not going to have the. People have been in a remarkably short period of time. I mean, in less than a year, people have gone from being completely ignorant about this issue to being very, very alarmed about it. I have a feeling that they're going to have a hard time stealing the election this time. It's just because there are so many people, there are so many citizens groups, there are politicians. People know that Max Cleland actually won in Georgia. You know that the whole Georgia election was rigged. The whole Rob Georgia folder thing that they found and whatnot. And people are getting it. They're getting it. Dave, thanks for the call. Chuck in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Chuck, what's up?
Hey, listen, you know, I find this absolutely fascinating about this ridiculous focus on a hug or a back slap between a couple of guys. When you think about it, the most macho guys in America, and I think probably most Republicans would agree, are the NFL football players. And, God, they sure spend a lot of time slapping each other on the butt.
Yeah, they do. They do. It's pretty remarkable. And the piece that, you know, Andy Borowitz did about, Kerry grabbing Edwards' butt, actually, it's just been shoulders and arms
and things.
Ridiculous. I thought it was funny.
It is, absolutely. Another piece of humor. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. Good to hear from you. 1-866-889-8894 is our telephone number. And, Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz. You don't know who this guy is? You need to find out. He's the guy who is in charge of checking out the Pentagon contracts with people like Halliburton. And he's one of actually several that I want to tell you about. This piece David Sirota and Judd Legume wrote, These Dogs Don't Hunt. I'm not sure actually where it was published. American Prospect. Anyhow, I'll tell you about it right after this break. Tom Hartman with you, 29 minutes past the hour. For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Pop and not so pop culture, democracy and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HRE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's one in three Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
John Kerry for America, and for the red, white, and blue. We need a man who stands for all of the people, not just the privileged few.
John Kerry for America, yes indeed. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here back with you. Before I get to Joseph Schmitz, by the way, the son of former California Representative John G. Schmitz, who is a director of the John Birch Society, I'd like to just play a little clip from another JFK from Massachusetts, another liberal Democratic senator from Massachusetts, talking about the Republican Party. Oddly enough, of his day, this from John Kennedy in 1960.
I believe that this party, Republican Party, has stood still really for 25 years, its leadership has. It opposed all of the programs of President Roosevelt and others, for minimum wage and for housing, economic growth and development of our natural resources, the Tennessee Valley and all the rest.
What? This is nothing new, JFK?
And I believe that if we can get a party which believes in movement, which believes in going ahead, then we can reestablish our position in the world. Strong defense, strong in economic growth, justice for our people, guarantee of constitutional rights, so that people will believe that we practice what we preach.
Wait, I mean, doesn't this have an eerie echo? You know, constitutional rights, so that the reestablish ourselves in the world, so that people will believe that we practice what we preach? Keep in mind, he was running against Nixon.
And then, around the world, particularly to try to reestablish the atmosphere which existed in Latin America at the time of Franklin Roosevelt. He was a good neighbor in Latin America because he was a good neighbor in the United States. Because they saw us as a society that was compassionate, that cared about people, that was moving this country ahead. I believe it's my responsibility as the leader of the Democratic Party in 1960 to try to warn the American people that in this crucial time we can no longer afford to stand still. We can no longer afford to be second best. I want people all over the world to look to the United States again, to feel that we're on the move, to feel that our high noon is in the future. I don't believe there's any burden of any responsibility that any American would not assume to protect his country, protect our security, to advance the cause of freedom. And I believe it incumbent upon us now to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. John Kennedy, 1960. And yet now we find that the very corruption in the highest levels of government that Kennedy was pointing to. You know, Nixon was vice president in 1960. He took a $500,000 cash bribe from Jimmy Hoffa to get the Sun Valley land deal indictment against Hoffa squashed. Kennedy knew that. There were rumors in the press. People kind of got it, how corrupt Nixon was. Even Eisenhower got it. Even Eisenhower was very reluctant about supporting Richard Nixon to be president. And here we are again, another corrupt Republican administration. And not to say that there have not been corrupt Democratic administrations. I give you a long list of the corruption under Lyndon Johnson, but, you know, here we are. Here we are again. And let's say another corrupt administration. We'll be equal opportunity critics. Well, actually, but see, it seems like the Republicans, because they, you know, so much of their worldview is get in bed with corporations, that they're more vulnerable to corruption. As Kennedy said, you know, they let's roll back Social Security, let's roll back the advances of the Roosevelt administration, the New Deal, basically. And that is the conservative agenda. Roll back that stuff. Reverse those positive motions that we've had. Okay, who is Inspector General Joseph Schmitz? He's not only the son of a John Birch Society director, he was a lawyer for Newt Gingrich. In 1992, he wrote a letter to the Washington Times that was published, in which he said the KGB apparently knows more about the shady side of Bill Clinton than the American people ever will. A conspiracy nut, a right-wing conspiracy nut. In 2002, Congress went to him and said, okay, you're in charge of the Pentagon. Would you please give us information about why our troops are getting inadequate training and there's a lack of protective gear in the event of a biological or chemical attack? Now, this seems like a reasonable thing, right? I mean, there's this thing called congressional oversight. Congress is supposed to oversee this, how the funds that they allocate of your and my tax dollars are spent. In fact, they're required by law to do that. It's part of their job. So they go to the Inspector General for the Pentagon, the Department of Defense, and they say, you know, we understand that, we can see. It's in the news. I mean, CBS News, right? Troops don't have enough gas masks. They don't have appropriate. We'd like to see a report on this. And Schmitz actually had a report that was done by the Department of Defense on this very problem. And our elected officials said, we'd like to see that report. And he said, no, you can't. It's classified. You can't see it. Sorry. Go away. Can't have it. Can't see it. Nope. Not going to show it to you. Just like Dick Cheney said when members of Congress said, hey, you know, you had that Energy Task Force meeting with Ken Lay and all those people from Enron and all those other oil companies. And in the spring of 1991, you had these seven meetings. And you were looking at maps of Iraq and carving up the oil fields and coming up with, you know, companies that might want to buy the oil from Iraq. And we'd like to know who was in those meetings and what was said. No, says Dick Cheney. Pat Leahy pushes it a little. He drops the F-bomb on him. Yeah. That was in 2002. Back in 1996, Aviation Daily newsletter pointed out, now this was before the guy became the Inspector General of the Defense Department, pointed out he was an attorney that was essentially operating as a lobbyist. And the January 5th, 1996 Aviation Daily newsletter says Schmitz had a number of airline clients in his private practice. Now the Pentagon wants to do this sweetheart deal with Boeing, where $23 billion. A billion is 1,000 million. 23 of them. We're not talking $23 million. We're talking about $23 billion of your tax dollars and mine are going to be given to Boeing Corporation in this sweetheart deal to lease these 757s or 767s, and then they're going to convert them to tankers, and then they're going to use them, and they're going to lease them. And everybody agrees that this deal is basically just a screw the taxpayers deal. Because it would be cheaper if we just bought the planes instead of renting them for 20 years. And so, you know, again, Congress and others have tried to intervene in this. No, he says. Well, then they say, was Boeing one of your clients back in 1996? I'm not going to tell you. Let's look at some of the other attorney, some of the other inspectors general that George W. Bush has appointed. The Coalition Provisional Authority, there was a guy who was supposed to oversee their spending. Now, traditionally, an inspector general should be, you know, somebody who is independent, impartial. Basically, it's a bureaucrat job. It's a bean counter job. It's a make sure things are done right job. It's the kind of job that traditionally in government was filled by a career civil servant. So who did George Bush choose to be the person who overlooked the budget, who was the Inspector General for the budget of the Coalition Provisional Authority, you know, the group that was overseeing the so-called rebuilding of Iraq? Stuart Bowen Jr. He's a Texas lawyer. Worked directly for George Bush for the last 8 years, most recently as White House legal counsel, before that in the Texas governor's office. According to the Chicago Tribune, between his time in the White House and the CPA, Bowen lobbied for Iraq contracts for the consulting firm URS Group. His connections to the Bush team landed contracts worth up to $30 million. This from David Sirota. As Inspector General, Bowen oversees many of the investigations into Halliburton's misuse of taxpayer money. Yet despite evidence that the company could be bilking taxpayers, he has been only mildly critical. In fact, one of his most public statements was a call for more taxpayer money to be spent in Iraq, not more control over that money. And in April, he issued a report discussing, quote, the need for more funding to accomplish the reconstruction mission. What about the Office of Management and Budget? Their CPA is a guy named George Wolfe. He was appointed on March 18th by the Bush administration. His major distinction is that he was a corporate lawyer for South Carolina's largest law firm, which has made more than $23,000 in contributions to George Bush, and represents construction firms and private banks, both industries that Wolf is now supposed to be overseeing at the CPA. According to National Journal, Wolf's wife, Virginia, is a former spokeswoman for the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee and currently works at the public relations firm of Manning, Selvidge, and Lee. Her firm now lists the U.S. Army as one of its clients. The couple has made substantial campaign donations to, guess who? George W. Bush. Andrew Natsios, administrator of the U.S. Agency for International Development. Same deal. He oversees the bidding process for reconstruction projects in Iraq. Under his leadership, the Bechtel Corporation received highly lucrative Iraq contracts. You look back and every time anybody from Congress says, what's going on with this? Like Henry Waxman, for example, has been particularly tenacious. Natsios says, ignores their inquiries. The Defense Department Chief Financial Officer, a fellow by the name of Dov Sockheim, before being appointed, he made a career selling access to the Pentagon as CEO of a defense consultancy group called Systems Planning Corporation. In 2000, he was part of a neocon group nicknamed the Vulcans, who were senior advisors to the Bush campaign. It just goes on and on. There's a long list here. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is the Mr. Grinch stuff. I mean, this is Greg Palast has a good idea. He says, George, give it back. Give it back. He points out that if, you know, when the government comes in on a racketeering, you know, RICO, you know, somebody's involved in organized crime or money laundering or something like that, they take all your money. In fact, in a lot of states now, if your car has been involved in a crime, the state gets it, even if it was your next-door neighbor who borrowed it. Or your house or anything else. I mean, they just really routinely take, it's called asset seizure, particularly if involved with drug crimes. So why don't we say to George W., if Ken Lay and Enron are really crooks, why don't you give back to them or to us, to we the people? We could distribute it to their victims. Some of the money that they gave you. Some of the $4.2 million that Lay's Enron team dropped into the Republican Party. The $100,000 that Ken Lay personally put up for George W.'s inaugural ball. Or Ken Lay's $793,110 in personal donations to Republicans. But no, instead, Kenny Boy gets to suggest to George W. who should be the head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Who's going to oversee how that electricity gets, you know, managed, controlled in California and other states? Well, Kenny Boy says, why don't you put our person, Pat Wood, in there? George says, okay, cool. You the crook. You get to choose the police chief, points out Greg Palast. In fact, Palast says, well, George, give it back. Dump Wood and end the decriminalization of electricity price gouging that you and Cheney and Wood laughably call deregulation. Give us back the government Ken Lay bought with crime cash. And then Palast, one of America's best investigative reporters, GregPalast.com is his website. He says, while you're gathering up the ill-gotten loot, let's stop by Brother Jeb's. Now, this was after Halliburton went bankrupt. After Halliburton went bankrupt and the crimes of these people were exposed, Brother Jeb picked up a cool $2 million from a Houston fundraiser at the home of, guess who? Kenny Boy Lay. Enron, not incidentally, Greg Palast points out, obtained $500 million of Florida state pension money, which has now disappeared down the Enron rat hole. Give it back! I think that's a pretty good idea. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Talk radio for the rest of us. Tom Hartman here with you, 10 minutes before the hour.
The following phone call was not recorded on February 30th, 2004.
Thank you for calling about DirecTV. My name is Lynn. How can I help you?
Thank you, sir. Thank goodness you're there. You've got to help me. My cable company is raising their rates again. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm here to help. I'm glad you called.
They're taking away our favorite channels and charging more. It's just wrong.
Ma'am, I get that all the time. Let me help you right away. Would you like to get over 125 channels of your favorite programming for only $39.99?
Will I still be able to get my local channel?
Absolutely. And because you called American Satellite right now, you can get up to a four-room DirecTV system for free and free professional installation for all new customers with an annual programming commitment.
Oh, thank you. My husband, Nick, is going to be so happy.
Call American Satellite at 1-800-505-1542. That's 800-505-1542. Call now and ask how you can get total choice for only $29.99 a month for the first 6 months. A $60 value. 800-505-1542. At $4.99 a month per second in each additional receiver. Offer ends July 17, 2004. Call now.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive Magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. It's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Tom Hartman will be joining the exceptional faculty of The Great Rethinking, The Prophets Oxford, taking place the weekend of September 10th through 12th at Oxford University, England. You are invited to join Tom Hartman in Oxford, along with other leading visionaries, including Vandana Shiva, Helen Caldicott, and Rupert Sheldrake, among others, to rethink and reshape our collective future. The Great Rethinking Oxford premise is that this tumultuous time in our human history may be crafted into the birthing of something truly new. And you can play your part in shaping this new worldview by joining Tom Hartman September 10th through 12th. To find out how, go to the website greatmystery.org. That's greatmystery.org. Together, we will make a difference.
With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner bringing you today's feature story. In June, more than 400 people in Southern California were rounded up by Border Patrol agents and deported to Mexico. The raids had a chilling effect throughout the state's immigrant communities. Vinnie Lombardo files this report.
Each day, hundreds gathered in the early morning and marched for 10 miles along the frontage roads of U.S. Highway 101, stopping to rally when workers were spotted in the nearby fields.
Workers that have been working in these fields haven't had raises in 10 years. And why did they give them a raise 10 years ago? Because the union was here organizing.
Castellanos points out that nearly 80% of California farm workers are undocumented. This leads to farm workers and other Latinos being questioned or arrested because of their skin color. U.S. Congressman Sam Farr disagrees. He says the rumors of Border Patrol raids are baseless.
The enforcement will be looking for a specific individual by name and not profiling people by race.
Efren Barajas is vice president of the UFW.
The communities are afraid. They hear about the migra being around. So these marches are serving the purpose of taking care of that concern.
In January, President Bush drafted a new program that would grant temporary legal status to undocumented workers if he or she finds a willing employer. The temporary visas expire after 3 years. If the employment ends early, the person must leave the U.S. Senate Bill 1645, aka the Ag Jobs Bill, would allow undocumented workers to permanently stay in the U.S. by continuing to work in agriculture. Yadira Ramirez has had family members deported to Mexico in the past.
We are not pieces of trash that you can just trash around and work like machinery.
The Ag Jobs Bill is expected to come up for a vote in the Senate later this week. In Santa Cruz, California, I'm Vinnie Lombardo for the Workers Independent News Service.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, they just use your mind. And, they never
and welcome back, Tom Hartman here with you, 4.5 minutes before the hour. If you're working 9 to 5, keep it up, that's what makes America great. And work for a little more representation of we the people, especially we the employees. The union movement really, you could say, built the middle class in America. And it's just a tragedy, I think, what the cons are doing, fighting against it. Anyhow, military records that could help establish President Bush's whereabouts. Did you read this in the paper? This is incredible. The New York Times broke the story. It'll be interesting to see if it gets a lot of play or if it gets ignored. But, George W. Bush, in all those documents that he released about, you know, was he AWOL or not? Was George W. Bush a deserter during the Vietnam War for a year? Because, see, AWOL only lasts for 30 days. You're AWOL for 30 days. On the 31st day, you become officially a deserter. According to the Military Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. Was George W. Bush a deserter during the Vietnam War? Well, the White House released all these papers the other day, it was a few months ago. And the most evidence they could find showing that George Bush was actually showed up for service were records showing that he was paid for 6 days in October and November of 72 without saying where. And that he showed up on January 6th of 73 and had his teeth cleaned. But the people who were there have no recollection of seeing him. His commanding officer wrote at the time, General Turnipseed, "I have no recollection of seeing Lieutenant Bush here." Well, now it turns out the Pentagon has announced that it has accidentally destroyed the service records of George W. Bush. They've been accidentally destroyed. Sorry. Military records that could help establish President Bush's whereabouts during his disputed service in the Texas Air National Guard more than 30 years ago have been inadvertently destroyed, according to the Pentagon. What a shame. What a surprise. I'm just astounded, aren't you? Just astounded. Amazed. Who could have thought? Friends, we got to get to the ballot box in November. It's time for regime change in America. Tom Hartman here with you, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program? Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HRE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's one in three Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You put in 30 years at the company. You got good pay, health care. Then they send you a job overseas. And under George Bush, the company actually gets a tax break for doing it. Now Bush says we're in recovery. Then after a year, you finally land another job, and you wonder, is this what you worked your whole life for? We're not being led. We're being misled.
War is not only hell, it's insane. We've seen the insanity in George W.'s War of Lies in Iraq. WMDs that aren't there. Perverted PR stunts about mission accomplished. The White House effort to redefine torture as being okay. The transfer of democratic power to a handpicked Iraqi regime that is not democratic and won't really wield power, etc. But our own leaders are not the only ones acting insane. The tiny nation of Macedonia has now learned that its leaders also have been caught up in the hellish insanity and depravity of Bush's self-declared unlimited war on the world's evildoers. In an effort to curry favor with Bush, the top officials in the right-wing government of this Balkan country plotted in late 2001 to show their commitment to Georgia's war on terror. Macedonian police commanders were dispatched to lure seven impoverished Muslim immigrants from Pakistan into their country. Believing they were on their way to jobs in Greece, the seven immigrants were taken in a minivan to a farm outside Macedonia's capital city. The van parked, the driver opened his door and fled, and a special terrorist unit of the police command opened fire, slaughtering all seven of the immigrants. Shortly after the ambush, Macedonia's top government officials announced that these seven had been Al-Qaeda holy warriors and that the police authorities had heroically thwarted their plan to conduct a terrorist attack on the U.S. embassy. The Bushites and U.S. media loudly hailed Macedonia's government as heroes in Georgia's global terrorist war, totally ignoring the pleas of families of the seven immigrants that their sons had zero connections to terrorists, unless you counted the insane cowards who had them murdered. This is Jim Hightower saying, Macedonia's cowardly leaders would have gotten away with their monstrous fabrication, except that they subsequently lost an election and the new government revealed the truth. There's been no comment from Bush.
Tune in tonight to Hangouts, where you'll meet a pop star with a pool for a living room.
Sorry to interrupt, but why check out other people's dream homes when you can use a home equity loan to create your own? Now at LendingTree.com, you can find home equity rates as low as 3.75% APR. But they won't stay that way forever. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details on licensing.
You think I'd maybe hide some bush's phases? Maybe, please. I'm a Carrier air conditioner. Isolation lets me focus on keeping you comfy.
For unmatched expertise, Carrier stands alone.
I'm an expert. You're on the job. Don't even think about it, Doug.
Our air conditioners with Puron refrigerant are energy efficient and environmentally sound with a 10-year limited warranty. See dealer for details.
Nothing can stop my dedication. Heat waves, rain, your kid's soccer ball. Ouch. I'm fine. Really.
No wonder Carrier's trusted in more homes than any other brand. Carrier, turn to the expert.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Happy Friday, TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, whatever it is, whatever is appropriate for you. Happy weekend. It's the 9th of July, 116 days to regime change, 397 days since an entire CIA operation was brought down by a traitor in the White House. Of course, George W. had some very strong thoughts on who that senior administration official might be.
We're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yep, but no idea whatsoever. Well, along those same lines, Donald Trump has some thoughts for George W. Remember, in his show The Apprentice, people would try to, you know, get weaselly on him. They'd try to give him wishy-washy answer. Well, you know, we couldn't do this because, here's excuse number 412. And, we don't know who's... And he'd just say, you're fired. Well, according to New York Daily News today, the Donald says George Bush, who is a Republican, a lifelong Republican, says, George Bush, you're fired. The Donald has turned thumbs down on the president's war in Iraq, calling it a mess. In an interview with Esquire magazine, he says, what was the purpose of the whole thing? Hundreds of young people killed? And what about the people coming back with no arms and no legs? The Apprentice star says it's folly to think Iraq can be turned into a wonderful democracy. The real estate baron said if he were president, Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden would have been caught long ago. Let me tell you, how is it possible we can't find a guy, says Donald Trump, who's 6'6" on a dialysis machine? Can you explain that one to me? We have all our energies focused in one place, Iraq, where they shouldn't be focused. Donald Trump says, George Bush, you are fired. Yeah, it sounds like a reasonable plan, I think, a reasonable plan. Oh, it's our Bush flip-flop. It's difficult keeping track. Just spinning us around, George. Okay, I'll give you two for today. Special two-for-one. Here's the first bit Bush flip-flop. Bush opposes creation of independent 9/11 commission. As CBS News reported on May 23rd, 2002, President Bush took a few minutes during his trip to Europe Thursday to voice his opposition to establishing a special commission to probe how the government dealt with terror warnings before 9/11. And then 4 months later, on November 20th of 2002, ABC News reports, President Bush today says he now supports establishing an independent commission to investigate the September 11 terrorist attacks. Well, okay. That's one. Here's another. Yeah, we do these from time to time. We're doing them every day for a while there. It's just, but, you know, After a while, it becomes depressing. Bush opposes time extension for 9/11 commission. President Bush and House Speaker J. Dennis Hastert, Republican of Illinois, have decided to oppose granting more time to an independent commission investigating the September 11 attacks. That in the Washington Post in January of this year. 2.5 weeks later, the headline was, Bush supports time extension for 9/11 commission. The White House announced Wednesday, this is from CNN, announced Wednesday its support for a request from the commission investigating the September 11th, 2001 attacks for more time to complete its work. So, yeah, it's our Bush flip-flop for the day. For the week, let's say. Although we have reported on a few others this week. Yeah. It's, you just can't keep track of this White House. It's just 12 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Six Enron questions for the White House. This, I think, is marvelous. This is, you know, Kenny Boy Lay, the George Bush's lifetime patron, the guy who has contributed more to George W. Bush's political life than any other person, with the possible exception of Karl Rove, who contributed not with money but with time. The person who's contributed more than anybody else in terms of cash to George W. in his political life. Now, the person who has contributed the most, of course, in cash to George W.'s life overall is Salman bin Laden, Osama bin Laden's brother, who bailed him out of Harkin Energy and who invested in Armbusto, the other oil company. But Kenny Boy is his lifetime patron politically. And the indictment against Kenny Boy was unsealed yesterday. So when will the White House unseal the records of the private 30-minute meeting between Kenny Boy Lay and our good friend, the Grinch, Mr. Cheney? When will the White House unseal the records of this private 30-minute meeting between Dick Cheney, Ken Lay, and others from Enron, and others from the oil industry? Well, you know, it's really a rhetorical question. They were willing to take it to the Supreme Court, and did, and lost, but won. They lost because the Supreme Court said, no, you actually have to work this out in lower court. And you may well have to reveal to the American public what you did with their taxpayer dollars when you were working as an employee of We the People on the Energy Commission and on the Terrorism Task Force, even though the Terrorism Task Force never met. The Energy one certainly did, and you may well have to reveal that. But you can duke it out in a lower court. So Cheney lost in the Supreme Court on the principle, but he won because the lower court won't have time to rule on this until after November. So maybe next year we'll get to find out who was there. So that's question one of the top six questions for the Enron White House. How about this one? About 30, at least 30, Enron officials have now been indicted. Besides Ken Lay, how many of those 30 indicted Enron officials, these all senior officials, were also on the White House Energy Task Force or submitted suggestions to the White House Energy Task Force? As the Washington Post reported on 8/26/03, the White House collaborated heavily with corporations in developing President Bush's energy policy, but repeatedly refused to give congressional investigators details of the meetings. That's congressional investigators. I mean, Congress appropriates the money, right? Congress, Kenny Boy Lay and Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and whatnot, they go to Congress and they say, we would like you to please give an $18 billion welfare check. See, the energy bill wasn't just $18 billion, but there was $18 billion in welfare to the oil industry and the coal industry and the nuclear industry. Bernie Sanders tried to tie $20 million on for solar power. They said, no, can't do that. No solar, no wind. No, we know who our friends are, Bernie. Get out of the way. So this, our little friend, Mr. Cheney, also known as...
One, Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel.
Oh, I love it. My Cheney theme music.
As ugly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's our official Dick Cheney theme song here. But actually, this is really more about George W. Bush. Well, I guess it's both. Because Bush got all, he got all this money from Enron. In fact, our third question for the Enron White House. Enron was George Bush's number one career patron until last year, with executives and employees contributing over $600,000 to Bush's campaigns. Has George Bush ever considered giving that money back? Any of it? Even a penny of it? Somehow, I rather doubt it. Another Enron question. It's the end of the week. It's a great day for Enron questions. By the way, our telephone number, 1-866-889-8894, if you have questions that you would like to add to the list. Since Bush went through similar problems with selling stock based on insider information when he was on the board of Harkin Energy. Say what? Does he have any advice for Kenny Lay? See, Kenny Boy is being charged with, insider trading stuff, And in 1990, when George W. Bush was the member of the audit committee of Texas-based Harkin Energy, he saved himself $600,000 by selling stock just before it tanked. And he was on the audit committee. He knew that the company was going to release this bad financial information, and he sold his stock and he made a $600,000 profit. The SEC started an investigation, but his daddy intervened. And the SEC wrote an official letter saying, "We are not vindicating you. We are merely stopping the investigation." And George Bush had the audacity in the 2000 campaign to actually claim that he'd been vindicated. The letter that the SEC wrote didn't come out until after the campaign was finished. As the Washington Post reported on July 14, 2002, Bush saved himself $600,000 by getting out when he did. Harkin's stock price had plummeted 75% by the end of 1990. But Bush had sold his Harkin shares, his Harkin stock, 212,140 shares, on June 22nd, 1990, just days before the end of the company's disastrous second quarter. So, George, you've been there. You've been through it. You know what it's like. You know how tough it is. Any advice? Any advice for Kenny Boy? Any thoughts on what should be done? Enrique in Santa Fe, 1-866-889-8894, telephone number. Enrique, a short one here, or I can hold you over.
Okay.
But
this is a short one.
Okay.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
The thing about Don Trump.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how our popular culture can influence public opinion, and if we can get that, Donald Trump hairdo on the front pages of magazines and stuff,
right.
And he just pointing and saying, "You're fired," and then a little story about how he doesn't approve of Bush.
Yeah,
it's all over for him.
Well, it's in today's news. We'll see how far, what kind of legs it has, as they say in the business. It'll be interesting. Enrique, thanks for the call. It's
okay.
A good point, and Mr. Bush, you're fired. Donald Trump's famous last words. 20 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack and automatically automatic security updates block out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
How can contemporary America possibly compare with 1933 Germany? Find out in Tom Hartman's brand new fully illustrated book, We the People, A Call to Take Back America. Through Tom's concise political analysis and Neil Cohn's vibrant illustrations, you'll observe an unsettling, if not shocking, perspective of America. You'll also hear what the founders of this country did to control corporate power. You'll be invited to consider how the American political system can be made more democratic, as well as comprehend the project for the new American century's vision for America. Here's what syndicated cartoonist Ted Rawl said after reading We the People.
An ambitious effort to explain everything that's wrong in America, how things got this way, and what should be done about it. We the People is the product of a brilliant and principled thinker.
We the People, A Call to Take Back America by Tom Hartman. Available in bookstores everywhere.
For more than 27 years, the Progressive magazine In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of movements for social, environmental, and economic justice. Author and broadcast personality Studs Terkel calls In These Times his bi-weekly tonic. In These Times features award-winning reporting and analysis of national and international news. Find In These Times on your newsstand or visit us online at www.inthesetimes.com or call 1-800-827-0270. 1-800-827-0270.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The latest figures from the Federal Pension Benefit Guaranty Corporation say the number of underfunded pension plans dropped last year by 9%. About 1,050 pensions are collectively short some $279 billion, yet the report doesn't paint a complete picture. It only covers pension funds, which are $50 million or more in the red, and conveniently overlooks the massive underfunding that's taken place since 1999.
Are George Bush's policies getting you down? Have you had enough of Bush's messianic militarism? Does John Ashcroft's assault on the Bill of Rights scare you? Do you believe that Dick Cheney had his conscience surgically removed 3 decades ago? Are you angry at the Iraq fiasco that was the brainchild of Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul out of his Wolfowitz? Well, then subscribe to the Progressive magazine. You'll get the insights of Barbara Ehrenreich, the inspiration of Howard Zinn, and the mirth of Molly Ivins, Will Durst, and Kate Clinton. They'll help you survive this dark age. And check this out. You can subscribe today for only $12 for 12 monthly issues. Simply get on the web and go to www.progressive.org or call 1-800-827-0555 and mention offer radio. That's 1-800-827-0555 and mention the radio offer from the Tom Hartman Program. That's the Progressive. It's your antidote to reactionary policies.
Democracy to the United States of America. Here's Tom Hartman.
Bring them on.
To all the troops I sent to war, who won't be coming home no more, I'm glad you came along. I dedicate this song to all the troops I sent.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 24 and a half minutes past the hour. Our questions for the Enron White House. A special Friday feature here. Has RNC chairman... I find this so ironic. It's the chairman of the Republican National Committee is a former Enron lobbyist, Ed Gillespie. Former Enron lobbyist, Ed Gillespie. Has the chairman of the Republican National Committee, former Enron lobbyist Ed Gillespie, considered donating the $700,000, $750,000 he received from Enron to charity?
As Newsweek reported on February 25, 2002, in Washington, lobbyist Ed Gillespie is known for his big-dollar clients. He was a $700,000-a-year consultant to Enron and his tight relationship with the Bush White House. And our final question, RNC Chairman Ed Gillespie says he quit lobbying for Enron when they ran into problems in the fall of 2001. But he didn't file a lobbyist termination report until January of 2002. Isn't it true that Gillespie stayed on with Enron as long as he was getting paid and until they fired him? The LA Times says, although Ed Gillespie claims he left Enron when the first signs of malfeasance arose, the reality is that Enron fired its lobbyists when it ran out of money. On December 15th, the Los Angeles Times reported that, quote, Enron recently fired most of its high-profile Washington lobbyists, sharply curtailing the company's renowned clout. Clowns, too. According to a lobbyist termination report, Gillespie's contract with Enron ended on November 21st, 2001. However, that termination report was only filed 2 months later on January 28th, 2002. Not only was Ed Gillespie, the head of the Republican National Committee, a lobbyist for Enron, he was fired from Enron as a lobbyist. Somehow it just seems altogether appropriate. The big news story for the day, and this is the one that I think that really we should be paying attention to, you know, moving to a little more serious things, is that the Army now, the U.S. Army, has officially said we can't win militarily in Iraq. The Army. No, I'm not exaggerating. Today's news. Of course, you know, all the bad news comes out on Friday, right? Usually Friday afternoon, after this show is over. So I can't talk about it. And then, anyway, Iraq insurgency larger than thought. This Associated Press story by Jim Crane. Contrary to U.S. government claims, the insurgency in Iraq is led by well-armed Sunnis angry about losing power, not foreign fighters, and is far larger than previously thought, American military officials say. They point out that there are at least 20,000 Iraqis who have organized themselves into an armed resistance. They point out one Baghdad cell, for example, has two leaders, one assassin, and two groups of bomb makers. The insurgency is believed to include dozens of regional cells, often led by tribal sheikhs and inspired by Sunni Muslim imams. Now, part of this has been, you know, whipped up by the fact that, for example, in April alone, U.S. forces killed as many as 4,000 people in Iraq. And the Iraqis are over it. They're over it. And you know, apparently, you know, from this report, it looks like, you know, average Joes who are unemployed by and large are joining the resistance. What's the solution? Empower the Iraqi army, bring in other Arab countries, and get us out. Very simple. 29 minutes past the hour.
At last, there's a positive focus on a condition that affects millions. Read The Edison Gene, ADHD and the Gift of the Hunter Child by Tom Hartman, best-selling author of Attention Deficit Disorder, A Different Perception. John Rady, author of User's Guide to the Brain, says this about the Edison Gene.
Once again, with tireless scholarship and a bit of poetry, Tom Hartman helps take us to the edge of knowing ourselves, our brains, and our world.
The Edison Gene, available in bookstores everywhere.
Pop and not-so-pop culture, democracy, and the news of the day. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Sarah Turner. SEIU is hoping to move labor union organizing into the 21st century with a new internet-based organizing campaign targeting people who don't have access to unions. The new affiliate got its name from SEIU's signature color and is called PurpleOcean.org. SEIU's president, Andrew Stern, says he came up with the idea of an internet approach to organizing from Howard Dean's campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. However, it's not clear what, if any, benefits are offered to members.
A walkout by technicians and maintenance workers at the Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant in Plymouth, Massachusetts, scheduled to begin on Tuesday, has nearby residents worried about safety. Citizen groups, as well as the union representing the workers, have petitioned federal regulators to shut it down if a strike occurs. The plant's owners plan to bring in replacement staff, but some citizens worry that the replacements won't handle the quirks of the 33-year-old reactors as well as a veteran plant engineer. The plant provides power to the city of Boston, which is hosting the Democratic National Convention at the end of this month. The union, which represents about 400 of the less than 600 employees at the plant, hopes that the potential of power disruptions during the convention because of an ongoing strike will give them some negotiating leverage.
Unite and HERE, traditionally textile and hotel employees unions, voted to merge together yesterday, becoming one of the largest labor unions in the United States with over 445,000 members. The president of Unite, Bruce Rayner, is now heading up the Unite Here union. He says the merger has freed up millions of dollars that were being spent on maintaining two bureaucracies that can now be used to organize new members. Both HRE and Unite have historically represented a mostly immigrant and low-income workforce.
Spain's largest airline has announced it is closing its hub and laying off more than 100 employees at Miami International Airport because of security hassles. The primary reason cited by Iberia Airlines was the new Homeland Security Directive that requires most foreigners to get U.S. visas just to pass through American airports. The airline now plans to bypass U.S. soil and fly passengers heading to Latin America to airports in Guatemala and Panama.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The Census Bureau reports that 43 million Americans do without health insurance today, but that's only part of the story. According to a study by the nonpartisan healthcare advocacy group, Families USA, a total of 81.8 million Americans went without healthcare for all or part of 2002 and 2003. That's one in three Americans under the age of 65. Going without was defined as not having health insurance for 9 months or more.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, this is the White House crock. Yes, indeed. 26 and a half minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. Contrary to U.S. government claims, we can't militarily win in Iraq, says the U.S. Army now. The officials in the U.S. Army. Most of the insurgents, this is a really remarkable story, and this really, you know, Americans really need to be reading this, hearing this, and thinking about this. I think, frankly, this is the biggest news of the week. This should be the lead story. That the Army now has come to the conclusion that the insurgency in Iraq is A, bigger than we thought, B, not going away and getting smaller, but in fact getting larger. And the more we fight it, the more we feed it, we fuel it. The more people we kill, the more angry relatives we leave behind, just like when the British were here in 1776. This is not, it turns out, this is not about Islam, it's about nationalism.
But wait a minute, you say. George W. told me it's because they hate our freedoms.
No, I'm sorry. It's because they don't like foreigners with guns in their country. You'll recall back in 96 when Osama bin Laden declared war on the United States and gave a speech that was reprinted in its entirety in the New York Times, he said that he was going to attack us if we didn't withdraw our troops from Saudi Arabia. There had not been American troops there before. We put them there in 1991 in order to fight the Gulf War to push Saddam out of Kuwait. And they stayed. And a lot of Saudis were very offended by the fact that infidels who drank liquor and listened to rock and roll and let women drive, they even let them walk around without a burqa, were on holy soil, the holy soil of Saudi Arabia, the home of Mecca and Medina, the holiest cities of Islam. If you want to get it, go to heaven and you're a Muslim, you have to go to Mecca at least once in your lifetime. You must show up for the Hajj. You must make the pilgrimage. And they were just terribly offended that in the process you may have to see an American GI drinking or an American female GI inappropriately clothed or, God forbid, driving a car. They don't allow that kind of stuff in Saudi Arabia. You know, we're all flipped out about the beheadings. They have a soccer stadium where they do public beheadings every Friday. They cut off the hands and feet of thieves, and they behead people for things like, I mean, real family value stuff. You know, this is for things like homosexuality or marital infidelity. Yet this is a truly conservative society. They've gone all the way back to the dream time of Falwell and Robertson, the Inquisition. But it turns out that in Iraq, the insurgents really are not all that fond of that worldview. In fact, according to this story in the Associated Press today by Jim Crane, AP insurgency, Iraq insurgency larger than thought, most of the insurgents are fighting for a bigger role in a secular society, not a Taliban-like Islamic State, the military official said. Almost all of the guerrillas are Iraqis. Do you notice a couple days ago they caught two Iranians, finally? You know, George Bush keeps saying, well, this is Islam, this is these fanatic, religious fanatics from other countries. No. Sorry, George. Military officials tell the Associated Press, the insurgents are fighting for a bigger role in a secular society, not a Taliban-like Islamic State. Almost all of the guerrillas are Iraqi, even those launching some of the most devastating car bombings normally blamed on foreigners like al-Zarqawi. Many in the U.S. intelligence community have been making similar points, notes the Associated Press, but have encountered political opposition from the Bush administration. A State Department official in Washington said, also speaking on condition of anonymity. Yeah, see, this State Department official knows what the Bush administration does to people who dare contradict their lies. Civilian analysts generally agreed, saying U.S. and Iraqi officials have long overemphasized the roles of foreign fighters and Muslim extremists. Most insurgents, they point out, are secular Iraqis, that is not religious, angry at the presence of U.S. and other foreign troops. One of these analysts, military analysts, a fellow by the name of Cordesman, says, too much U.S. analysis is fixated on terms like jihadist, just like it almost mindlessly tries to tie everything to Osama bin Laden, Cordesman said. Every public opinion poll in Iraq, however, supports the nationalist character of what is happening, end quote. Many guerrillas, the Associated Press notes, are motivated by Islam in the same way religion motivates American soldiers, who also tend to pray more when they're at war, the U.S. military official said. He said he met Tuesday with four tribal sheikhs from Ramadi who, quote, made very clear, end quote, that they had no desire for an Islamic State, even though mosques are used as insurgent sanctuaries and funding centers. One of the sheikhs said to him, We're not a bunch of Talibans. And they wrap this article up by noting, at the orders of General John Abizaid, the U.S. commander of Mideast operations, Army analysts looked closely for evidence that Iraq's insurgency was adopting extremist Islamist goals, the official said. Analysts learned that ridding Iraq of U.S. troops was the motivator for most insurgents, not the formation of an Islamic state. Now, isn't it interesting? Saddam says, if you don't get your soldiers out of Saudi Arabia, I'm going to hit you. We didn't. He did. And then what happened 3 months ago? We pulled all our soldiers out of Saudi Arabia. And now we're discovering that in Iraq, this insurgency, people are saying the same thing. Get your soldiers out or we're going to keep killing them. They killed five of them yesterday. God knows how many they've killed today. Of our young men and women, your neighbors and mine, here in the People's Republic of Vermont, in the last 2 years, we've had one person killed in a murder. We've had nine killed in Iraq. Something wrong with that. Something fundamentally wrong with that. Time for our Rush Alert.
Condescending crimes, making money, selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts.
It's his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic guts.
And now we find the liberals doing what they always do, and I've told you this. They always try to give me 50 milligrams of Vicodin instead of the 80s.
I'm a Nazi.
This is our Rush Alert for the day. The Republican National Committee has circulated a research brief repeated on the Limbaugh program as well as others that repeated an anecdote that the Washington Monthly founding editor Charles Peters recounted in his June 30th Tilting at Windmills column. Now, let me lay this out for you. Back in June of 2003, in the Washington Monthly, a relatively obscure publication to begin with, this guy writes a column in which he quotes an unnamed secondhand source. In other words, somebody told me that somebody they know heard that John Edwards didn't know who Yitzhak Rabin was. For those of you who may be scratching your head, he was the former prime minister of Israel. And this is not facts. We don't need those stinking facts. So in June, in a column titled Tilting at Windmills, Charles Peters writes about this story. He tells this story about, you know, somebody who knew somebody who Edwards was campaigning here. A story recently told to me by a reliable source is less than reassuring. One evening while Edwards was campaigning for the Senate in North Carolina in 1998, Edwards was faced with a choice of several events he might attend. An advance man suggested, maybe we ought to go to the reception for Leah Rabin. Edwards responded, who's she? Yitzhak Rabin's widow, replied the aide. Who is he? Asked Edwards. And this was the article. Now, Edwards' campaign immediately responded saying, this isn't true. Edwards had never been to an event that included Leah Rabin. He knows who Yitzhak Rabin is. But this story now that is reported, you know, the six-year-old fable, was broadcast on the 6th, 3 days ago on the Rush Limbaugh show. He repeated it. He said, here's the quote. He says, this is in the Washington Monthly, June of 2003. So just a year ago, and this is found at SlateMSN.com, he's campaigning for the Senate in 98. He didn't know who Yitzhak Rabin is or was. Now, that's something. Now, but Mr. Bimbo, Limbaugh, Edwards denied that story, and there were no sources quoted.
Well, don't confuse me with facts.
Well, that's just the beginning. It gets better. It gets a lot better. And a lot stranger, shall we say. So then, a Newsmax runs an article, Newsmax.com, the notorious right-wing website, an inside cover story titled, Edwards Stumped by Yitzhak Rabin's Name. This is the day after. Apparently, they're quoting Rush now. Edwards has so little foreign policy experience that he reportedly couldn't identify the name Yitzhak Rabin as belonging to the late Israeli prime minister. Yeah, crediting Limbaugh with unearthing the report. So now it's in the right-wing spin machine. So Fox News Channel host and ABC radio host Sean Hannity repeats this thing on July 6th on the Sean Hannity show. He says, John Edwards' comments on Iraq in particular are amazing. His ignorance of foreign affairs is stunning. I mean, if this were a Republican, it would be, this guy didn't know who Rabin was. He didn't know. I mean, it's amazing stuff. But, sorry, Sean. And he goes on and on. I mean, there's several quotes here. Hannity goes out of his way to repeat the lie several times. He does it on his radio show. He does it on Hannity and Combs. The New York Sun picks it up and recounts it. The Washington, you know, incorrectly attributing it to a 1998 Washington Monthly. And then the Wall Street Journal picks it up in their July 7th edition, quoting Newsmax. Isn't it just incredible? Just absolutely incredible. So, our Rush alert for the day.
Times making money selling lies. You might say, everybody hates my guts.
Hates his guts.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic guts.
Yeah, welcome back. So, anyway, it's 13 minutes before the hour, but let's move along here. 1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts for the day, here, Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, is on the line. Hey, Roy, what's up?
Hey, Tom, as I was waiting and listening to your discussion about the Rabin, what was the trick questions they asked Bush? Who was the president of Pakistan?
Yeah.
Somebody ought to get that clip out and make a commercial of it.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, that was one of several similar incidents, yeah.
The thing that I really called about, though, Tom, my nephew was injured in Iraq a week or so ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, he said he was a lot better off than some of the guys in his troop, but blew his fillings out, damaged his hearings and whatnot.
Yeah.
But the thing that concerns me is some of the little innuendos that he's put into some of the emails coming home as far as just his, it boils down to his just flat stress.
Yeah.
It is just flat. He's scared of what he's becoming.
Yeah. Well, these guys, I mean,
is the scary part.
They're fighting for their lives.
30% of these guys, according to New England Journal last week.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 in 6 have post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah, no, they're not, because Bush has cut back on funding for the Veterans Administration and required them not to tell people when they're eligible for benefits.
It's just...
It's a tragedy.
I just had to call him rant a little bit.
Yeah, but Roy, you know, we need to honor our soldiers. I mean, these guys, these kids over
are
literally fighting for their lives. It's gone beyond. They thought they signed up to fight for their country, and now Bush has lied them into a war that we didn't need to go into. Over 800 of them have died so far. 16,000 are disabled or injured, and like your nephew. And they're getting it. You know, they're getting it. And they're still stuck there.
It's
got to be terrifying.
They're stuck there. They're not getting the support. One of the things that hit me when I was watching Fahrenheit 9/11 last week was that here the troopers are in sand camos, yet they're wearing jungle camo vests.
Yeah.
That had vests on.
No, it's all wrong. Yeah, it's terrible.
It is just terrible.
It's terrible. So
anyway,
we need regime change, Roy. Yeah, well, thanks for calling in. Good
Have
rant.
A great weekend.
You too. Great weekend to you. 10 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you.
Are you frustrated by your constant inability to lose weight? Are you looking for a natural, clinically proven weight loss breakthrough? Introducing CarboBlocker. Unlike anything else on the market, CarboBlocker is backed by clinical research that proves it effectively helps block the fattening effects of carbs without stimulants. Your body will think you're eating a low-carb diet even when you're not. The results are simply amazing. If you want to maintain the weight loss effects of low-carb dieting for the long run, if you're tired of clothes that are too tight and you want to look fit and sexy, then CarboBlocker is for you. Its clinically effective formula is safe, natural, and stimulant-free. And as a special introductory offer, when you order two bottles of CarboBlocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker absolutely free. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive two free books, Lose Fat Now and the Low Carb Cookbook, a $100 value. Absolutely free. So call now, 1-800-743-5704. Guaranteed to work or your money back, so call now, 1-800-743-5704. That's 1-800-743-5704.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Are you or a loved one making too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely because you're not alone. Over 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. That's why if you make frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or a diminished sex drive, then Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Toplitzky. The results with his patients have been amazing. Reclaim control now and join the thousands of satisfied customers who have had incredible results with Super Prostate Formula. When you order two bottles of Dr. Toplitzky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll also get two bottles of his Super Libido Formula, an all-natural alternative to Viagra to enhance sexual vitality and performance, plus his book, Complete Guide to Prostate Health, and his newsletter, a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed or your money back. If you're not completely satisfied, return it for a full refund and keep his Libido Formula book and newsletter free as your gift. Not available in stores. Call now, 800-452-0978. 800-452-0978. That's 800-452-0978.
With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner bringing you today's feature story. Union organizing could become a lot harder in the near future. The National Labor Relations Board moved to review the legality of card check agreements, threatening the ability of unions to avoid the lengthy election certification process.
Card check is a way of getting around what has become a dysfunctional system that focuses on the NLRB election.
Nelson Lichtenstein is a professor of history at UC Santa Barbara and author of State of the Union, A Century of American Labor. Under a card check agreement, an employer automatically accepts a union if a majority of workers indicate their intent to form one. Under current U.S. labor law, when a union files for an election, the company has the right to hold captive audience meetings.
They demand that all employees must show up for a meeting in which union representatives are excluded, but in which management has the right to really badger the workers, show horrifying films, and really threaten to shut down the plant.
Even if the union wins an election, the company often fires union activists, hires anti-union consultants, and delays the results of the election for years.
At Columbia University, for example, where the teaching assistants have just finished a strike, the election was held 2 years ago. And so what that means in many workplaces is that the workforce has turned over and you really have to begin all over again.
It's a popular form of organizing. Of the 500,000 people who have joined unions in the last few years, the majority joined as part of card check agreements. The NLRB is also reviewing whether or not to allow workers to push for a union decertification vote immediately rather than after the current one-year waiting period. With the Workers' Independent News Service, I'm Sarah Turner.
rigorously exploring the truth of the day. Here's Tom Hartman.
Hey, everybody, let's have some fun. You only live but once, and when you're dead, you're done. So let the good time roll.
Won't that be nice? Letting the good times roll. After a regime change in November.
I don't care if you're young or old. You ought to get together and let the good time roll.
1-866-889-8894, our telephone number. Tom Hartman here with you, 4 minutes before the hour. And let's go to the phones. Michael in Santa Fe, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Just 15 minutes ago, I was home for lunch, and I got an email from my nephew in Iraq, who was involved in that mortar attack on a police station where four Marines died and wow. 20 other people. He witnessed that. And he is, I could tell by his email, he is extremely traumatized by that. Yeah. And I emailed him back and said, you know, if you need help, they're not going to let you know about your benefits. So, you know, call your local Veterans Administration and, you know, make sure that, you know, if you when you come back that you, you know, you get the help that you need.
Push for it, yeah.
But I guess the point I was trying to make is that in his email, I mean, I don't know if they're monitoring that, but he had this anti-Bush screed that was just, he's a conservative Republican, solid for the war, totally turned against it. And he told me in the email, there's not one person in his military police training unit that's going to even get near voting for Bush.
Yeah. Well, they've seen, you know, they know what's actually going on over there, and they know the lies that are being told by the Bush administration here about, you know, why they're there. We are hearing this from so many military families now.
I mean, that surprised me. I was like, what? Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know the military over there was turning against Bush. I guess they are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been going on for some time now. I mean, you're seeing, I mean, it started actually even before the war. You have people like Zinni saying, come on, you know, let's do this right if we're going to do it. And Bush is like, and Cheney and Wolfowitz and what's his name? Rumsfeld saying, no, we can do this on the cheap. We can do this on the cheap. We can, you know, and people, you know, and real live military officers like General Anthony Zinni saying, well, you know, how about a plan, guys? No, we don't need those thinking plans.
All right. Well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Michael, and good luck and Godspeed to your nephew.
He's miraculously survived it, he says, an act of God. So
yeah.
Hopefully that continues. Thanks.
That's a scary one. Thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. We must get to the polls in November. And in the meantime, wake up as many people as possible. Thanks to Louise for producing our program today, to Brad Walrod for our music, to Shelby for streaming us around the planet on radiopower.org, and Mike Toth and Ben for our archives, White Rose Society and TomHartman.com. Thanks to our sponsors, particularly Small Dog Electronics. Thanks to the folks in our chat room who showed up today. Thanks to Jay for composing and producing our theme music, which you're hearing right now. And thanks to you for listening. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Monday.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program? Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
While the world seems to be collapsing around us, there is hope. Tom Hartman's inspiring book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, has just been re-released. The new updated version is available now and offers solutions to the issues that concern us most.